This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
The Golden State Warriors are 31-1 in the last 32 games in which Steph Curry has played without Kevin Durant. That is a schedule, that is a record against soft teams, good teams, trending teams, teams on the decline, teams in the lottery, everybody. And it's an impressive record, but it is the Toronto Raptors that they're going up against in a series in which Toronto is home court advantage. We trust statistics like no other entity in life, where statistics matter. They tell us things in sports that you can't really utilize in everyday life. 31-1 means something. But what exactly does it mean going into these finals? Is the Durant absence a factor enough in this series, given what he could do defensively, for example, what he could bring offensively, for example? We like to know that the Golden State Warriors are in very good shape right now, and they are in very good shape, right? They beat a Portland Trailblazers team in four games. In three of those games, Portland was up by 17 points in the second half, to watch only that lead not only disappear, but found themselves on the losing end of those games. Houston had an opening when Durant got hurt in Game 5 and couldn't capitalize on that opening at home against Golden State. We know this team can win the finals without Durant. So I'm looking for, well, what does Durant's absence mean for the Raptors? What can the Raptors do to Golden State that with him not on the court? What is going to be the deficiency of the Warriors, if anything, without him there? How do you guard Kawhi Leonard as best you possibly can without him? Right? How does Toronto put their defense together without him rather than with him? These are some serious questions, but in the end, 31-1 is significant enough to make you know that the Golden State Warriors are in very good hands. Even though Toronto is a better team than Portland, a team they kind of blew away in four games, it still matters that this team is in good shape without the best player that had been in the playoffs up until he got hurt. It's SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Throwback Thursday, we're celebrating 1993. It was the year the Toronto Raptors were announced as an expansion franchise in the NBA, and they're making their first NBA Finals appearance tonight, so well done. Some of these hits, man, they bring back so many weird memories. Some good, some bad, but yeah,
93.
Bill Clinton was inaugurated president of the United States. Didn't Cheers come to an end in 93, or was it 92?
I think it was 93. I don't know.
Last episode of Cheers. Oh, that happened in 93. Now, yeah, I'll try to remember some things. Toronto Blue Jays won the World Series in 93. The Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl in January of 2003. Let's see, the 1993, the Michael Jordan and the Bulls won the NBA championship. And I don't know who won the Stanley Cup, but I'm assuming it's Pittsburgh or somebody else like that.
Say 25 things that happened in 93. You also had the bombing of the World Trade Center.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember
the
that.
Little, down in the, what was it, the parking garage, right?
Yeah, the parking garage, yeah.
That was terrifying. Oh, Barney was big in 1993.
The purple dinosaur. That's right.
With two kids on that who are mega celebrities now.
Who are they?
Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez and Demi Lovato were the kids on that TV show?
Were two of the kids,
How great is that? Wow, I did not know that. Didn't Demi Lovato just get out of rehab?
Reaching its height in popularity, 90210 in 1993.
Right. Yeah.
I thought, you know what, I was upset. I was, you know, not sure what my wife had on. I was busy doing the dishes yesterday. But I heard the theme music from 90210, you know, that din-in-inch, din-in-inch.
Right.
And I didn't look up in time. I know she was watching a show on Fox. So I don't, is there like a summer revival that I don't know about?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because I meant to say, oh, rewind that. But, you know, I got distracted with dishes and other things. And before I knew it, I was like, oh, I'm just remembering it now. There's a huge campaign that was going on during that time on TV. Got Milk first aired in 1993.
Oh, wow. No kidding. What a good throwback Thursday it is.
I know.
That's great. So, again, Toronto, congratulations on your NBA Finals appearance. Been a long time coming, 26 years, since they announced that you were an expansion franchise with Vancouver, who have now the Memphis Grizzlies. We won't do anything for the Memphis Grizzlies until they get to the NBA Finals, but it's all about Toronto.
And I think it's amazing, too, Toronto. I mean, you know, that fan base is actually being able to keep a team in Canada.
Yeah, very true. I mean, very true.
You say Memphis Grizzlies, it just reminds me. It's like, that's right. You know, they're Grizzlies because they started off in Vancouver.
You know, isn't there I don't know the economics, but you know, Toronto, obviously Canada is a different tax system, right? Than it is. Is that appealing or not appealing for athletes to go there and play, whether it's the Blue Jays or the Maple Leafs or the Raptors? If you've had a taste of American economics, is the Canadian economic system better, worse? Or is it a selling point or something that players go, ooh, I don't want you taking more of my money, even if it means other things. Like, that's the one thing about when the NFL was talking about, oh, we might have a London team. I'm like, all right, yeah, good luck. If a certain amount of dollars doesn't equal a certain amount of dollars over here based on taxes and stuff, you're not going to draw free agents. I know some states have that problem. Like, people love going to Florida. They like going to Texas because there's no state income tax. We talked about this with LeBron. Remember when LeBron was going to the Lakers? It was like, well, now this is what his tax – that's what his take home is going to really be like. But I wonder if you're like an athlete, and all of a sudden you're being asked to go to Toronto. Toronto's a great city. I mean, it's a great city, but is the taxes worse, better? Do you not want to go there? Do you want to go there?
Get free
based
healthcare.
On the economics. Yeah, you get free healthcare.
You
that's
got
true.
That going for you.
I guess you got that going for you. Yeah. So that's, you know, just out of curiosity. I wish I knew more of the details as to why it wasn't working in Vancouver. Vancouver seems like a nice town. Like, I thought it would work there, but it didn't. They ended up becoming the Memphis Grizzlies, and there you go. Vancouver's a great city. My friends who covered the NHL, that's their favorite city to go to, is Vancouver. But they tried the Canadian thing, and it's good for the Toronto, good for the city of Toronto to embrace it and love it and accept it in. Listen, people say this all the time, and I don't understand why people do this. Toronto's a hockey town, right? The Maple Leafs are bigger than anything there. And so people say, well, oh, it's, you know, when the, you know, whether it's the Raptors or whatever, it's like, oh, well, that's a hockey town. So what? It can be a basketball town too. Like, I have room in my life for more than one sport
to pay attention to.
You know, I mean, like, I can root for four things at once. I don't need to just root for one thing. Right. And if the team wins, people just gravitate to that. They always do, because it's more than just liking a sport. It's about pride. Like, you're from Toronto, they're in the NBA Finals, you root for them, right? But I don't understand why people do that. They go, oh, that's not going to work there because that's a hockey town or that's a basketball town. So big deal. If your team is good, people will go. People will pay attention to you. If your team stinks, doesn't matter what your town is.
Listen, I mean,
it doesn't work.
Would you consider Tampa to be any sort of sports town?
It's a football town, but that's it.
It's a football town. It's definitely not a baseball town. Listen, I was reading this, saw this on Twitter, this morning, and they are a game and a half out of first place behind the Yankees.
And playing really well.
And they had about, I don't even know if they had 6,500 people show up to their game yesterday.
That's so embarrassing.
Which is the second lowest in their history, because the night before, they only had about a little over, just under 6,000 people show up.
They are in the worst location you could have a baseball franchise.
Well, then this, I mean, look, I don't want to make light of this. I don't want to scare you, Tampa, but the same thing happened to another team called Montreal Expos.
And they don't exist anymore.
Yeah. They had a really cool logo, too.
Really cool logo.
But I remember,
now they're the Washington Nationals.
I remember, you know, friends of mine who are on the East Coast would, you know, go to Montreal Expo games because they said that you can get in for dirt cheap, and then you just literally walk right up to the fence. They don't care. They don't even check to see if you have the right seat number.
There are two baseball franchises that just do not draw anybody: Tampa and Miami.
Which is amazing.
Amazing.
Because that's where, you know, that's one half of all spring training is held there.
If there was a place that you could sell the opponent coming in, it would be those two locations.
Yes.
Given the amount of transient people that have moved there out of these different areas, like especially cold weather climates. You know,
and Tampa, maybe that's part of the problem, because you probably have a lot of Yankee fans, a lot of Red Sox fans who have transplanted. I mean, because that's always been the running joke, that it's all the retired individuals from the East Coast, Upper East Coast, New England area, New York area, Pennsylvania, who go to Florida to live out their years because they just want to be sunny and warm. They don't want to shovel snow anymore.
There are radio stations in Florida that carry Yankee games on the radio. There are radio stations that carry New York sports because there's so many New York people, and it's worth their while to do so. The problem with the Rays is they have a terrible, terrible stadium. And two, it's a terrible location. My in-laws live close to that area. It's not an easy place to get to from the standpoint of there's not really good parking. But the other thing is, and I think we've talked about this before about that area, Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg, it's Tampa, St. Petersburg, and it's the Tampa Bay area, right? There's no city called Tampa Bay. It's the Tampa Bay area. It's like the Bay Area, right? So there's Tampa, and then there's St. Petersburg. It's separated by this large body of water, and people don't want to cross the bridge. People in Tampa don't want to cross the bridge to St. Petersburg to watch a baseball game. But people in St. Petersburg will go across the bridge to see the Lightning and to see the Buccaneers. And they do it all the time. The Lightning actually have a very good fan base. But again, it's a lot of the people moving down south who still love hockey, come from these hockey areas, and have kind of adopted the Lightning as their own. And hockey fans are very, very passionate. And if you can get 50,000 of them to compete for tickets, you're set. But the Rays, they've been trying to get a stadium in Tampa for a long time. They can't do it, but they're doomed. They're going to end up leaving. They're going to go to Portland, Nashville, Charlotte, wherever, whoever wants to welcome him in. They're talking about that here in Nashville, about whether or not there's funds for a Major League Baseball stadium to start, you know, enticing teams to come to Nashville. I don't know if Nashville is big enough, but Tampa Bay would be perfect on my list. If I was in Charlotte, if I was in Tampa, if I was in Portland, and I wanted a Major League Baseball team, I'd be starting to hit the owner up now. Start the conversation now. 6,000 people went to a Major League Baseball game? You get 5,000 people to go to a minor league baseball game. 6,000 people. That's insane. That is insane. Tickets are not that expensive. Give me a break. The team is good. They're fun. They're doing that multiple pitcher thing, right? Except when Blake Snell pitches, they let him actually do some work.
They keep him in the game.
Right? They keep him in the game. But again, they're winning. They've won like 5 in a row and like 7 of 9. I mean, they're right. Yeah, they're neck and neck with the Yankees for first place in the division.
And they're not doing what the Marlins did, where the Marlins said, you know what? We have all these really great players, these young, great talent. Let's just get rid of them.
No, right. Exactly.
You know, the Rays aren't doing that. So if the Rays did move to Nashville, they would have to change their name, right?
Yep.
Because are there many Rays in Nashville?
You'd have to call them the Catfish.
Oh, God.
That's about it.
That's not.
I mean, I want the Rays to be successful. I like going down there, visiting my family, and catching a game or two. I love it. I don't want them to move. But if they want to move here, I'd love it because, you know, whatever. But I don't want to see teams move. I think but here's the thing. If a team moves, I'm sorry to say this, but unless it's the Browns and unless it's some other examples that we've had, for the most part, it's because nobody goes. right? It, because nobody cares. You know, Tampa Bay almost, there was, you probably remember this early 90s or so. Remember they almost got the Giants? Remember when the San Francisco Giants were wanting a new stadium?
Yep.
There was all this talk about they were going to leave. They were going to leave. They might go to Tampa. Now they got the new deal done. They got to leave the San Francisco area. Can you imagine if they did that? Can you imagine if the Giants said, no. We can't get the deal done. We're going to move to Tampa Bay. And they were playing in front of 10 people a night? They'd probably scream.
Here, the actual number, the attendance was 6,166.
I worked for minor league basketball teams. If we had that, we were like, ooh.
And that's the second lowest in history because the lowest was the previous night, 5,786. I mean, I would love to go to one of these games because, you know, then at that point, you're just like, well, let's buy a nosebleed seat. I'm certain they're not going to care if I'm sitting in the lower level.
They can't possibly care. Why would they care? The team doesn't seem to care. Like, the organization doesn't seem to care.
Can you imagine them stopping you? Sir, no, your seat's way up there. Nobody's here!
Nobody's here. Give me a break.
You really care? What
are you talking about?
Trying to make it look good on camera. Let me sit down here.
Yes, let me sit down here and make it look halfway decent for the camera.
Do they tarp the entire upper deck?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, right?
Just goodness one gracious. Gigantic tarp all the way around on an indoor stadium.
Yep, that's atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. 800-777-2907 is the number if you want to join us. Also on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Coming up, something the NFL keeps bringing up and bringing up and bringing up, and they do it again. I'll tell you what it is next at SB Nation Radio.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Sean Devinney is going to join us from Sporting News. We're going to talk NBA Finals with him coming up in about 10 minutes. Get the lowdown on what he thinks the Raptors need to do if they're going to win this series. How about just try to get it to like six games? Let's just start small. Let's go from there.
Start smaller. Get it to five.
So there's a little bit of, yeah, I know, right? Start small. Just get it to five. Exactly.
Just win one.
There is this issue comes up all the time, and it's in the NFL. It's popped up again that there's going to be talks with a new CBA, and there's going to be the NFL pushing once again for an 18-game season. And this time, they may have actually something behind it that might be more enticing to the players than just sticking 18 games on a schedule. Because of the legalized gambling, there might be a better revenue opportunity when you're tying yourselves into these, you know, gambling groups about giving them more games to gamble on. And that might be enticing to the players to get an 18-game schedule. I have said forever and a day that I do not think in the next, oh, heck, my lifetime, that I would see the league go to 18 games. But I always give the caveat of, but you never know. But I know the players absolutely do not want anything to do with it. They don't want anything to do with it. Now, we as fans, some of us like it, some of us don't. I mean, some people have said, oh yeah, more football, more football, more football. And then some people have said, well, yeah, but I mean, I still, well, how much football do I really need? I don't want attrition.
Just carry the football season through February.
Right? Well, what they were hoping is that they could extend it to a point where President's Day weekend would be where the Super Bowl was, and that would give us the Monday, okay. Most people the Monday off that they're looking for.
For that reason alone, I'm on board.
Isn't that great?
I'm on board.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, just for that reason alone, just to have that Monday off so we all, as Americans, can go hard in the paint. Because literally, I mean, what we can do is to say, you know, this is America's party.
That's exactly right.
That's
yeah.
all it is.
It's one of the big holidays that we have. We all watch one thing together.
Isn't it? Wouldn't you say it's the biggest unofficial holiday we have?
I think we do, yeah. I agree.
And we can just celebrate, have a great time, and then Monday rolls around. We're like, you know what? Let's hit up the sales.
But you know what I wonder? Let's say the NFL did it. Let's say the NFL said, okay, we got permission from the players. You'd have to rework everybody's contract. Like, everybody's contract would have to be redone. Because the players are never going to let's say you play, let's say you get $16 million a year, just to make it simple, right? And so you get $16 million a year. So you get paid per game. So you get 16 paychecks of $1 million apiece, right? Well, you don't want to play a regular season game where you get less than that off the $16 million. You're asking for two more weeks of work. So you have to redo everybody's contract. Now, is it a matter of adjusting the money? Yeah, but also it's a matter of adjusting a lot of things within the contract. It's not just a matter of increasing people's pay. There's a certain, certain percentage of bonus that they get. There's all sorts of little language in the contract that their agents are going to be like, it would be a nightmare for front office people to deal with 53 of these things where everybody's coming up to you going, yeah, and then we also get this, and then you have to add this, and then you multiply this by 0.25, and that's what we get.
You can put something in the clause and say, hey, we're going to switch to 18 games. No one gets you from – if you have a contract now, nothing changes with that contract. I mean, I know it would be tough to do, but here's my question.
It would be almost like the players' union would say that's impossible.
It would be impossible. Like the
players' union would say we're not voting
on
that.
Maybe you can settle on amount. Just say everyone gets this bonus, one-time check. But here's a bigger question. Would ticket prices go down?
No.
Damn.
No.
You're adding a home game. I would assume because then you'd have nine.
Yeah, but
home
games. Just add it. They would just add if your average ticket is $150, they would just add $150 to the to your season ticket packages.
Why not shave it off a little bit? Maybe make it $125. Well, a little bit easier on the eyes.
I guess some teams could. Some teams couldn't.
Arthur Blank would do it.
Yeah, Arthur Blank would be like, "Hey, buy two get three free." That's how we roll in this day and age of the NFL. But, the other thing, too, is, and this is where the players have it over the owners' heads on this, is that the players are like, wait a minute, you guys are the ones that are preaching safety and changing all these rules and rules we don't like. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, but two more NFL football games is nothing. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Like, you want to change the way we tackle because we're going to get people hurt. You want to change the way we practice because people are getting hurt. You want to do away with the Oklahoma drill, for example, because you want to you're all about player safety. You want to change, make the helmets better. You want to but then you're also like, yeah, but you know what? Revenue wise, we all could benefit from the fun of an 18 game schedule.
Right, how about this? What if you did a 16 game schedule, but just made the playoffs a little bit larger?
Well, that's a good idea. No.
I'm just trying to get to the February 20th, the President's Day timeline. I think that's a fantastic idea.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, just get to the President's Day weekend.
I don't want to wait 4 weeks to get to the Super Bowl. Yeah, exactly. No, I agree. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see a President's Day weekend.
If you increased, if each conference got four extra teams, I would push it to, would that do the trick? Push it to 2 weeks?
We got to get 2 weeks added to the schedule. I would hate to do this, but what if you started the season a week later and then gave everybody an extra bye week?
Yeah.
That's too much. Nah. That's too much of a gap. I don't want that. I want college football Labor Day weekend, and I want NFL football to start like 3 or 4 days later.
But at the same time, you really don't want NFL to kind of encroach on the college bowl season. You know, the games
that's
that
true.
Matter.
Yeah, that's very true.
New Year's Day is reserved for college football. You can't have NFL games on New Year's Day.
Yeah, that's very true. So,
The brain trust, we'll figure it out for you guys. Don't worry.
I was just going to say, it's one of those things that keeps popping up with the league, and there's no consensus on how it would ever get done. The players' union is absolutely against it, so they're never going to sign on to a deal that includes that without some real serious renegotiation of the monetary part of it. But the reality of it is that they've conceded to a lot of things that they wish they never conceded to. So you never know. I mean, I said 10 years ago to a radio station I was working at that I would never see it in my lifetime. I've softened on that as the years have progressed. I could see it actually happening. But it's going to take a lot of reworking by the contract. You may see it in your lifetime if you live long enough. You might see an 18-game schedule. And I love the idea. I think I'm with you. I love the idea. President's Day weekend, Super Bowl weekend, 1-1. I think it would be great.
Bad boys, what you want?
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Throwback Thursday, 1993. We're celebrating the Raptors' first NBA Finals appearance with the year that they were announced as an expansion team. What do you do for energy? You grab an energy drink. Now you can do the same for sleep with SomSleep. Just drink a small can before you're ready to sleep. SomSleep is now available at your local Walmart or online at GetSom.com. That's GetSom.com. Use promo code RADIO, 15% off your first purchase online at GetSom.com. Sean Devaney joining us from Sporting News to talk about the NBA Finals, which gets underway tonight in Toronto. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. What is the gut feeling on this finals in terms of the closeness of the teams, in terms of where the series may go? Not asking for a prediction, but just in general, do you feel like this is more close than people think between these two teams?
Yeah, you know, and I thought that even before it was sure that that Kevin Durant wasn't going to play game one, but certainly with Durant dealing with the calf strain still, and I think the momentum that that Toronto has. I think the fact that the Warriors have 10 days off doesn't really help them. You know, probably doesn't hurt them as much as it would some teams because they have so much experience with this sort of thing. But yeah, you know, I mean, I just think the way that Toronto really hit its stride in that Milwaukee series, I think that's something that they can carry over into this series and make it competitive. And I think the matchups and the personnel show that that this could be a pretty good series. I don't think anybody would go so far as to pick Toronto to win, but you know, certainly compared to the last two finals where the Eastern Conference team has won one game, I expect this to be a much more competitive, compelling finals.
We know Golden State obviously can win without Durant, but without Durant, what does that mean for Toronto in terms of how they prepare defensively for this Warriors team?
Well, you know, it gives them sort of free rein with Kawhi Leonard, because if he's not focused on guarding Durant, then you can put him on Steph Curry at times, and he's done that in the past, especially in fourth quarters and when he was in San Antonio. But you could change that up and play him on Steph Curry, you know, particularly in the third quarter where Curry tends to really get things cooking. You know, anytime Curry starts to get on a hot streak, you could move Kawhi Leonard over there or you know, or onto Klay Thompson or you know, he could be a little bit of a freelancer. And I think that's a dangerous thing for the Warriors to have, is that you know, because he's such a versatile defender. So I think that's a pretty good advantage for them, for the Raptors heading into game one, just to have Kawhi Leonard sort of be able to guard whoever's hot at the moment and see if he can't take away that kind of momentum.
It is an easy thing to say, Sean, that yes, adding Durant back to the lineup because he's one of the top players in the league benefits Golden State. That being said, though, is this the kind of series and the kind of matchups with Toronto where Durant is a big addition to what Golden State needs to win this series? Or how do we grade Durant's absence or addition in the way Toronto plays basketball?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they didn't need him to beat Portland, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's obvious. And there are other teams that they probably wouldn't need him so much to beat. But you know, a team like this with a wing like Kawhi Leonard, who has the size, the ability to post up, the ability to play out on the perimeter, and you want to make him play, you know, you've got to force Kawhi Leonard to play both ends of the floor. That's Kevin Durant. I mean, that's what he does. And you know, obviously, he can score over Kawhi Leonard despite Leonard's size and length. So, yeah, I mean, not having him in there is especially detrimental against a team like Toronto because of Kawhi Leonard and because Durant is the perfect guy you want to have on the floor, like I say, on both ends of the floor. And not having him in there, it really does take a little bit of a load off Kawhi Leonard. You know, he's got to go for at least 30 in game one, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him go 35, 38, you know, getting close to 40, you know, just given the fact that they're going to have to run a lot through him and that there is no natural defender for him on that Golden State team. That would be Kevin Durant, so they really do need him in there.
which Toronto Raptor has to play well in this series other than Kawhi Leonard? Has to show up, has to be there, whether it's a defensive assignment or offensive contributions. Who do we need to be looking for other than Kawhi to make or break this series for the Raptors?
Well, I think Pascal Siakam, you know, really sort of disappeared in the last couple rounds of the playoffs. You know, the first half of the playoffs, I think it was the first 11 games, he averaged 22 points. He was shooting near 50%. You know, he really looked like a guy who could be their second option and could carry that through the entirety of the playoffs. And he really hit a wall, you know, but during that Philadelphia series, he really hit a wall. And his shooting just plummeted. He's been averaging about 11, 12 points since then. You know, he's a guy who's been such an active sort of player in terms of cutting to the rim, getting offensive rebounds. Defensively, he's been very, very good, and certainly they need as much of that as they can get. So I think Siakam, you know, he needs to play like he did in the beginning of the postseason and not so much toward the end, certainly in that Milwaukee series. So I think he's a key guy, and of course, if Fred VanVleet can keep doing what he did in the last three games of the Milwaukee series, that's a big bonus, because the Warriors don't have a whole lot on the bench. They're really kind of scraping for anything that they can get off the bench. If VanVleet can come in and knock down some threes and get himself in the 12 to 18 point range, that really does put a lot of pressure on a Warriors bench that just doesn't have a lot of production on it.
Sean Devaney joining us, Sporting News on our Progressive Insurance Hotline, talking about the NBA Finals starting tonight in Toronto. Let's talk about Kawhi for a second. Just big picture here, Sean. What has this playoff meant for him, his image, his status as an NBA player? Because he's been so outstanding. And this, you just go a year ago around this time, a little less than a year ago, to when he's going to Toronto and he doesn't look like he's going to be happy. Boy, what a difference a year makes in terms of an image. What has this meant for Kawhi Leonard, this run?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, you know, a year ago and certainly after he got traded last July, you know, there was a question whether he'd even show up and play in Toronto. You know, that was a legitimate question. You know, it wasn't certain that he was going to do that. And you think about that and you know, sort of the fan reaction to that kind of thing from a player. I mean, he was not a guy who was well respected around the league for what had happened in San Antonio. And you know, like you say, with the Spurs of all teams, you know, the Spurs who have always had these great relationships with their star players. So you know, there was a lot of negativity heaped on him, and he earned it. I mean, it wasn't out of the blue. He earned that negativity, you know, with the way he acted. But for him to come to Toronto and play the way he has, you know, really they've done a nice job too in terms of resting him throughout the season, giving him those load management games throughout the year. And now you look at him and he's back to being one of the five best players in the league. When you look at two-way players, when you look at both ends of the floor, he's back to being one of the five best players, and a lot of that negativity, unless you're living in San Antonio, then a lot of that negativity has been erased.
A lot of the NBA championship history in the last 30 years of stuff, you find these little groups of appearances in the finals or winning the finals, whether it's the Celtics or Lakers or Bulls or whatever. What is this good for the NBA that the Warriors have been so good and for 5 years have dominated this league, and not only that, but dominated the Western Conference, where no one has been able to really pop them?
Yeah, you know, I think that Adam Silver would say no, but I wonder how history will judge it. You know, that if this is it for the Warriors, if they lose Kevin Durant and they go back to sort of being a more regular team, you know, still a very good team, but a mortal team nonetheless, then I think this will have proven to be good for the league. But you know, it's hard to say, because either the ratings haven't been great, and you know, I think there is some fatigue with the Warriors, you know, that you know, they've just been such a foregone conclusion. So yeah, you know, I think in the end, we might look back on and say that was good for the league. It's hard to see it right now, though, because, like I say, there is a lot of Warrior fatigue. I think a lot of people are, a little tired of them. And certainly the way that it's just been a foregone conclusion. You know, if you go back to the Bulls, for instance, in the 90s, they had some great series. I mean, they had some great final series. They had some great series that they had to win on the way. You just haven't really seen that much from the Warriors. You might get one competitive series per year in the last 3 years here, but that's it. And you know, so, yeah, you know, I think in the end we'll look back and we'll say that was fun. That was a good run. But here in the time, it's kind of hard to judge because I do think people are a little fatigued to them.
It's hard to beat Golden State 4 out of 7. And I don't care where you play these games, but is home court a factor here, a small factor here? What benefit for the Toronto Raptors do they have in a series where Golden State is one of the premier teams in the NBA?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is in that Toronto would really be up against it if they didn't have the home court advantage. But, you know, having the home court, certainly, like I say, in that game one, without Kevin Durant, with the Raptors coming in with as much momentum as they have, that really is something that I think that they can take advantage of and that the crowd might feed, and allow them to get that game one and get things off, on a strong footing for themselves. The problem is though, is that you're right, you know, the Warriors are really not fazed by that, of all teams. So, you know, it's not that much of a day. It would be a much bigger advantage against some teams, but just, you know, the Warriors have been through this so many times. And Steph Curry loves playing in Toronto. I mean, you look at his numbers against the Raptors. He's averaged more points against the Raptors with better shooting than any other team in the league. Don't forget, he spent a year when he was 13 years old living in Toronto when his dad was playing there. So he's very familiar with the city, very familiar with that, with being up there and very comfortable playing there. So, you know, he's certainly, even without Durant, he's going to be a bit of a wrecking ball himself. So yeah, you know, it is an advantage for Toronto. It's certainly better than having to start in Oakland. But you know, against the Warriors, it might not be as big an advantage as it would against other teams.
Sean, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Enjoy the finals.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Sean Devaney against Sporting News on the NBA Finals. Yeah, home court. I mean, listen, watching the Celtics-Lakers in the 80s, man, boy, those two venues, the Great Western Forum and the Boston Garden, were so different, right? I mean, it was so different. Parquet with dead spots and a building that didn't have air conditioning compared to the great sleekness of the Great Western Forum at the time. But Golden State they don't seem fazed by being on the road. They are all talking about how Drake doesn't bother them. They're not affected by that. They're not going to let him get under their skin. They are proven champions. They've gone on the road and won before. They know how to do this. But if the Raptors are going to win, if the Raptors are going to pull this off, the only way they do it is because home court is in their camp. It might be a slight advantage. It may not be the huge thing. They may need all these other things to go right, but all those other things could go right. And if they were playing this series tonight in Oakland and they didn't have home court, I'd give them zero chance. If everything goes right, and because 4 of the 7 games would be in Toronto if it got that far, then I would add that to the plus column and see where it goes, even though Golden State is not a team that's affected by that much. Again, Sean Devaney on a Progressive Insurance Hotline. Go to progressive.com for great insurance rates today. SB Nation Radio, it's SB Nation AM.
Whatever it is I do, I try to think about you.
I have a love for you, but nothing hides me.
Whatever it is I do, I'm always thinking of you.
I hope you look at me.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
1993, Toronto Raptors get announced as an NBA franchise, and we are celebrating them in their finals tonight. Now, who did this song?
PM Dawn.
PM Dawn, okay. God, 1993, what a weird year.
I'm telling you during the break, I was like, I'm trying to figure out celebrity fans, because I've heard, you know, Santana goes to Warriors games, Guy Fieri, yeah. Smash Mouth. Was like, is there like some current?
Guy Fieri was offering like Kevin Durant food. Like, stay in Oakland and stay with the Warriors.
Dinner. That's got to be creepy.
Yeah, bam! No, that's Emeril. Yeah. That's Emeril.
So I'll fix you dinner to keep you here and home.
What's Guy Fieri's trademark?
Fiery blonde hair.
Oh, okay. He doesn't say bam or anything like Emeril does? No, he doesn't do that?
I don't even know if he really does a cooking show. I'm assuming he does, but I know more for diners, dives, and drive-ins or something like that.
Doing a cooking show is hard.
Yeah.
It's a really hard thing to do. Like, you got to, you know, just go, oh, you're going to sear this. Oh, beautiful. Look at that caramelized crust. Take that. Put that over some baby greens. It's very not easy to do. Cooking show. So I give him a lot of credit. But yeah, no Warriors.
Literally,
no Warriors
I am going through photo upon photo upon photo. And it's all Sixers, Bucks. When it shows Warriors, Clippers, it's someone for the Clippers. When it shows Warriors, Blazers, it's someone for the Blazers. But there's no like diehard fan. There's like, I mean, they have
there
Von
isn't
Miller.
Any tech guru that just loves the Warriors like
you would think,
Mark Zuckerberg or somebody like that.
You would think.
Yeah, right?
They can't even pull that in. No, the main celebs that you see or hear about all the time are Santana, Guy Fieri, and Smash Mouth. Smash Mouth actually was clapping back at Drake.
Smash Mouth?
Yep.
Okay, let's get a...
Somebody once told me. Nope.
Yeah, let's get a little bit of a music battle between Drake and Smash Mouth.
There we go.
In the...
Will Drake be in the house tonight?
Tonight?
Yeah, does he travels with the team, right?
No, well, they're at home tonight. So, game one's in Toronto, so he'll be
home.
Oh,
is game
tonight.
One in Toronto? Why was I thinking game one's in...
It's an easy... I had that problem yesterday.
God.
It's easy. But Toronto will be hosting game one tonight, SB Nation Radio.